everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. It's great to be back with you, and today I'm so blessed to have Sophia Fong as my special guest. Now, Sophia was born in Seoul, South Korea, where she lived until the age of 12 before moving to the U.S. Sophia is a CPA currently working for the Water District. And here at Catalyst, Sophia has been a part of worship teams playing the bass and also a small group leader along with her husband, Matt. Now, Sophia and Matt have been married for 13 years, and together they have an 8-year-old son, Joshua. And if you want to catch Joshua as a child actor, you can watch Pastor Barry's testimonial video entitled A Father's Embrace, where Joshua plays a young Matt DiGucci, Pastor Barry's son, in the video. So if you haven't seen the video, you can catch it on either the Catalyst Christian Community website or on YouTube. And with that, Sophia, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, it's so great to have you. And I have to, there might be times during the podcast where I inadvertently call you Sang, because that's how, you know, right? Everyone.
Which is fine. You could call me Sang the whole time.
Okay. So I feel like I have to let our listeners know that if you hear me call Sophia Sang, it's because that's, you know, that's kind of her endearing name to a lot of people here at Catalyst. So an upfront. You know, I was thinking back to when we shot Pastor Barry's testimonial video, and I thought Joshua was such a natural fit to play Barry's son, Matthew, because Pastor Barry already had such a great connection with Joshua, right?
Yes, yes.
And I thought the part where, and without giving too much away, the part where they hugged, it looks so natural, right? Because that's what he's used to doing anyway, right? So you have been mentioned more than once in so many testimonies shared by other brothers and sisters here at Catalyst. And so it's great to finally have you here today to hear some of the many things that God has done in your life. And I know you're not a stranger to seeing miracles, so I thought we could start by asking you, or actually mentioning, when you were young, you witnessed physical healings of your cousin's ear and your grandmother's stroke. And so I wondered if you can start by talking about what happened and what you saw.
Sure. So my cousin was born, he was born perfectly healthy. And when he was young, he had a high fever. And the medication was given to him, and due to the medication, he lost hearing. Wow. So I heard this from my parents, because I was too young to remember it. He's 4 years younger than me, so we kind of grew up together.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But my auntie, out of desperation, took him to a church, healing church or some sort. And while they were there, someone came and laid a hand on him, his ears. And I remember him saying, "Oh, it's really hot." Like, he was complaining, "It's getting too hot."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I said, "Mom, it's too hot and too hot." And then later they found out he had hearing back in his one of the year.
Wow. Was that the year that got hot, or that area?
Yes,
wow.
Yes, exactly. So that's the story of my cousin.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
My grandmother.
I'm just curious. Was your cousin, was he a Christian at the time?
He was too young.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
So did he eventually come to the faith, or do you
know? Yes, I mean, the whole family did.
Okay.
I don't know if they were Christian before. I know my grandparents, that's my dad's side, were Christian or went to church.
Yeah.
So I don't know when that started and how everything happened.
Wow.
But
wow.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And so I'm sorry I cut you off, and then you were about to share about your grandmother.
Yes, so that's my mom's side. So it's actually their faith journey is their testimony, how they came to the Lord. So I guess in 60 or 70s, there was a lot of Jesus movement in Korea. So my grandmother had a stroke pretty earlier on. So my grandfather and my grandmother went to church, and that's where she got her healing. It wasn't a full healing, but enough for her to be functional.
Okay.
And she's able to walk again and then move again.
Oh, wow. So before she couldn't walk at all.
Right.
Wow.
So that's how they got to know Jesus.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's amazing. So I'm just visualizing she's somehow going into a church, probably on a wheelchair, and then she's leaving, walking on her own.
Right.
Wow. That's amazing. And did your cousin or your grandmother, did they ever talk about it after that?
They really didn't. So I only heard it through my parents, and I would not have known if they didn't. My parents didn't talk about it.
Which
is bizarre, because something like that happened to you, think you hear them talking about it all the time.
Right.
But I've only thought about this because, you know, I was kind of looking at my generation and what's inheritance there. So.
Yeah. And, you know, you and I, we just talked about this, but I really felt like you were supposed to declare that today, you know, for just your family and just sharing. I mean, these are amazing miracles that God has done. When you were younger and your parents shared that with you, did that have any effect on you at that time?
No, it really didn't.
Uh-huh,
I mean,
uh-huh.
I kind of stored away.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, it's just a memory. That's
right.
Kind of cool that it happened. And then if I look at both of my family, like my mother's and father's side, that miracle didn't have so much impact on anybody's life, which is bizarre. Because you think something like in that kind of miracle, you'd be giving all the glories to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what happened is the enemy tried really hard to cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
They had them focus on worldly thing
instead of...
you know, what God did for them.
Right.
So it wasn't even normal, but they just didn't talk about it as much.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you were also sharing that when we had a lady at our church, Sujin, mm-hmm. who played the keyboards, and but when she was here, she had healing in one of her ears.
Right.
And I think when she was healed in the one ear, then that brought memories back of your cousin, didn't
right.
it?
Right, because it wasn't the first time I witnessed it.
Yeah, wow.
But we just didn't talk about it. And up until, you know, really coming to Catalyst, we start talking about healing, physical healing. But
yeah.
Until then, we don't think about it. We just go to the doctor when we're sick.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great. Well, thank you for you know, sharing it and declaring it today. You know, I just think back to the book of Deuteronomy in the Bible, and God is constantly reminding the Israelites to remember the things your eyes have seen, and don't let them fade from your heart as long as you live. And I just think that what you're doing today is, you know, giving glory to God and really declaring it for your family. So, yeah, thank you for doing that. Yeah. Okay. So when you were 16 years old, you attended the Harvest Crusade. And for those listening that don't know what the Harvest Crusade is, I'll try my best to explain it. I think it's a yearly evangelical outreach-based conference started by Pastor Greg Laurie of Harvest Christian Fellowship. And I think usually held it at Angel Stadium,
Angel
right?
Angel Stadium, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And while at the Harvest Crusade, you received an encouraging word from a complete stranger. And I know that some things were going on in your life at the time. And so can you start by talking about maybe what was going on in your life at the time, and then what made you attend the Harvest Crusade, and then finally what happened at the event?
Sure. So I came to the States at 12 and with my parents. So I'm an only child, so just three of us.
Yeah.
And at the age of 16, something happened that my dad decided to go back to Korea without us. So my mom and I stayed behind. And 6 months later, that my mom decided to go back as well. So I was kind of in the point, am I going to go back with my family or am I going to stay here by myself?
Yeah. What was that like? I mean, when you found out that, you know, first your dad leaves, then your mom goes is going to go back. I mean, that must have been scary or what was that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but they actually gave me the decision to make. I could stay here on my own or I could go back with them. Yes. But at the time, I really just wanted to stay because I just got acclimated to everything else.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to go back. But it was devastating because I've never been alone in my life.
Yeah,
I was pretty much dependent on my parents.
Right.
Kind of didn't know even what to do by myself.
Right. It's not like you have other brothers and sisters right. or uncles or aunties or
right,
people around.
Right. So it was a real struggle at the time. So my girlfriends from high school say, hey, I'm going to go to Harvest Crusade. You want to come? And I was already Christian. I mean, I've been Christian, I guess, all my life. So I knew the Lord. So I went, so we're sitting in the bleachers, and then I see a family in front of me with the toddler or like a little baby.
And you didn't know who they were.
No, I had no idea. And then the kid in front of us kept turning back and looking at us. And I liked the kid. So I was saying, oh, you know, I was saying hi and whatnot. But I think toward the end of the whole session, the mother turned around and then start talking to me. And at the time, my English wasn't that great. So I couldn't tell you I understood like everything she was saying.
Sure.
And she just started off like, I don't know why, but I'm just drawn to you. And she started sharing her testimony, how she became Christian. But I think it wasn't her testimony that impressed me or anything like that. But it was just like, because I was sitting with a group of teenage girls. We all looked the same. There's nothing that sets apart.
Yeah.
But she looked at me and then she talked to me. And I just felt like, oh, God sees me. You know, he sees me what I'm going through. He sees me. And after that, you know, things happened in my life that I was able to stay by myself. And so that was, you know, God moment for me, like first God encounter.
Yeah. So what were some of the, after the woman shared with you and kind of singled you out, you know, what was the feeling after that? You feel like you weren't alone, or you know, you knew at that time God was with you.
The message was, you know, God sees me, you know, he's seeing me,
yeah,
you know, he knows me, he knows where I am. He, you know, I'm special to him because I'm not one of the other girls. You know, he picked me out for no reason.
Yes.
And this, you know, such timing as that, you know, that summer was really, really hard for me. So that's, you know, from that on, you know, he was telling me that, you know, he will never leave me or forsake me.
Yeah.
And even my parents weren't there, he'll stay with me.
Yes, yes. So, Sophia, there are many names of God. And one of the names of God which was given to God by a woman in the Bible named Hagar, she called God the El Roi. And, you know, I'm not a Bible scholar, so if I'm saying that wrong, you know, please forgive me. You know, it's funny because I tried to listen to the pronunciation of the El Roi, and some pastors say Elroy. but when I heard Elroy, I thought, gosh, that sounds kind of Western sound, American sounding. And then I thought, I kept thinking to Elroy, you're too young to remember this, but there was a cartoon Hanna-Barbera show called The Jetsons cartoon, and the son was named Elroy. So anyways, so I thought Elroy, it sounded better on the tongue, but it means the God who sees me. And which translates in Hebrew to shepherd, to seeing and gazing. And I just think of your story, and then of course this woman in the Bible, Hagar, who it's such a great reminder to all of us that, you know, in the case of Hagar, this woman who was a slave being mistreated and finally ran away from her master was visited by an angel of the Lord who spoke a prophetic word over her, which caused her to declare God as the El Roi, the God who sees me.
Yes.
And I am just so inspired by that your story of, you know, at a time where you felt alone and not seen, that God saw you and singled you out from among this sea of humanity almost, right? And then among your friends, that he would see you in that moment.
Yes.
And I just wanted to quote Jeremiah 12 and the first part of verse 3 in the English Standard Bible. It says, "But you, O Lord, know me, you see me." And I just love how your you know, the love that was shown to you. I just love how your story doesn't end. This sister at the Harvest Crusade passed along a word to you, saying that,
right,
you know, God sees you, but then you've been paying it forward, and several years later, God told you to share a word of encouragement with a brother here at Catalyst, and that being Blake Arakaki, who shared about you in his testimony here on Catalyst Stories about how God maybe changed the course of his life because of a word that you gave him. And so I wondered if you can share about what happened that Sunday and how God spoke to you.
Sure. So, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that I'm paying forward. I didn't realize I was doing that until today when I was driving in here, and I was just like thinking about my testimony and that first God moment, and I just realized, oh, that was my God moment, and that all God is asking me to do is create that God moment for others. And I think Blake's case was, you know, what I really could see. And it was funny because I've known Blake for a little bit. I think he came to our small group, so I know of him. So I know a lot of people might have heard his story. So my side of the story, I guess, is I saw him, I sat kind of close by him that day. And I actually heard the Lord saying something to him during the message. So at that time, I was playing bass for the worship team. And the word that was given to me, which I know Blake doesn't remember, is intimacy. So I remember that word, and he said, intimacy. And I was like, I think I'm supposed to pray for him. But this was happening during the message. And I hesitated. And I said, I didn't do it. You know, I was just kind of thinking about it and thinking about it, and I hesitated. So, you know, worship time came up, so I had to go up. So first song came by, and then I was like, oh, I think I'm supposed to pray for that. So I, you know, my thing was like, okay, I'm going to go in a hurry and pray and come back really fast, you know. And I was very grateful for Ross that we're able to do that.
Yes, you had the freedom, the permission to do that.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So I was like, okay, then I'm going to do this. So I dropped my bass, and then because I was on the other side of it and I wanted to, like, do it quickly, I started running. And then Blake thought I had to go to the restroom, which is funny. And then I came around, and then I just pray for him. And then that's it. And then I'm like, okay, I got to go back. So I just went back and then started playing. And afterward, he, Blake shared his testimony with him, with me. And it was such a blessing for me because it was my, it was learning experience for me too. Because
what did you learn?
Because a lot of times when you plant a seed, you don't get to see the fruit. But like I got to see right away. And you know, the, what, it's funny because I think God already knew, or like he kind of calculated the timing of delay for me too, because it had to be during the worship team. It had to be for me to be on the stage and then drop and all that for him
because
to.
Because he mentioned that he saw you drop the bass, run off the stage, and it just really, that caught his attention.
And that was more impactful. So if I had to done it and during the message, it wasn't as
impactful.
But I would not have known that. Only God does. So he had to tell me in advance so that I will act upon it at that time. And what I learned from that is, like, it's all about God's timing. You know, it's not. And then after he told me, like, he doesn't remember what I said, I'm like, you know, it's not even make, it doesn't even matter what I said. Because a lot of times I worry about, oh my God, the words I have for them, is that kind of hit or not hit? Is this really for them? Is this me? Is my own ability? But I think at that moment, like, all you have to do is follow his timing. Follow God's timing. And you just do it, whatever he is asking you to do.
You were obedient and you were willing to just say yes.
And just the mere action, like, he will do something with it. And it's not my responsibility at all.
And I love what you said. It's God doing it, not you doing it. So you don't have to worry. It's not in your power or, you know, anything, you know, any type of power that you have.
So, I mean, it was a huge lesson for me. Like, I don't have to bear this responsibility anymore, you know, and I just have to, like, oh, God gives me when the right timing it is. I just knew, I just have to wait for his timing and then go for it.
You know, what stands out also is Blake was sharing on the podcast, he was going to leave Catalyst that day. He just said, I'm out of here. I'm not coming back. And so you talk about timing. I mean, if you had waited and said, no, I can wait till tomorrow, he might not, it might have been too late at that time. Of course, God is, you know, gracious, so we don't know what would have happened. But, you know, in the moment, you know, that your willingness to go, just go and be obedient to what God was asking you to do.
Right.
Yeah. So do you sometimes, well, you kind of answered the question, because I was going to ask you if you from look back on the time when the lady at Harvest Crusade just saw you and you know, kind of singled you out. If God ever gives a word of encouragement, I mean, if you feel like I'm going to take advantage of that opportunity to give a word for someone else because I want to bless someone else the way that I've been blessed. And I think you kind of answered that
yeah.
in a way that mm-hmm. you do. Okay, awesome. Okay, so I want to move on to your college years, because even though you had this experience of God seeing you, mm-hmm. It didn't get easier for you, right? And
no.
And I, in fact, I think during your college years and for some time afterward, you were sharing with me that it was kind of a struggle. So I wondered if you can talk about maybe a few of the challenges you faced and what God said to you and did for you during that time.
Sure. So after my parents left, it was not an easy life for me. I mean, yeah. I never knew how much covering the parents give to their child. And how much grace do you really receive from your own parents? Mm-hmm. And when that's all lifted, you're on your own. And you have to face everybody's criticism and their judgment. And my parents gave me a lot of love. But, you know, I never knew how to do a healthy relationship with anybody. Mm-hmm. So it was tough. And, you know, financially it was pretty tough too, because they had to send me money on top of their own living expenses to
yeah.
send me to college. And I had to work a lot too, mm-hmm. to make up some, mm-hmm. you know, differences too. But,
yeah.
you know, one lesson that he gave me physically is that, he'd take care of me financially, which is like kind of odd, because I like, there are days that I just didn't have enough money.
Yeah. I think
you
said there were
the
days where you only had a dollar in your
yeah.
pocket.
And
right?
I was like, can I get something with this? You know, what
yeah.
can I eat with that? And, you know, and then the next day someone will come up and give me money, like a relative will come by
oh.
and give me money. So I was never, you know, it was always enough,
yeah.
just enough for
yeah.
me to move on. And whatever the situation is, like I'll get an extra tutoring job or something like that, and out of nowhere, and I wasn't even a good teacher, but, you know, they trusted me with their kids, and whatever that was, I could impart, you know, I was able to impart to them,
yeah.
and, you know, it was a lot of God's grace upon my life during that time,
yeah.
and even after, like I say, like, I left God 3 times, you know, because I was in college, nobody was over me, and I wanted to do my own thing, and I have a very strong will, so I'm like, I'm going to do life my own, and I think I could handle it. So I remember leaving church like 3 times, and every time I left, I came back broken, and I remember the 3rd time coming back, and I was like, and I think that I was still going to CBC at the time, and I remember him saying like, okay, you're finally back, I got you. You know, you're not leaving again. And I knew I came back for good, and I'm going to stay.
Wow.
But, you know, it wasn't easy, because I had a very broken relationship all around me. Mm-hmm. And just going through the relationship, I think, in my 20s was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And when it wasn't until the start of the Catalyst, you know, that I really wanted to learn how to walk with the Lord.
Mm.
And before that, it was just going to church, you know, on Sunday, and then coming back to the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I finally, you know, walk with the Lord, and he convicted me to say, he really told me, like, you don't have any good, healthy relationship around you. And I say, you know, I think you're right. Like, I think I have to learn how to do relationship with you first, God.
Mm.
You know, because I don't know how. So, you know, I was convicted to have this 1 year of no dating. Just like, just 1 year, just spend the time with the
just
Lord.
Just connect with God,
yeah,
and
every
learn
day,
what that relationship
exactly,
process is like.
Right. So, you know, now looking back, that one, during that 1 year was not easy. There was so much temptation. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I want to like, you know, break my vows, whatever I did. But looking back, that 1 year of dedication, like, really set the foundation for my faith.
Wow.
And I could always go back to those times, those sweet times at night, you know, just praying to the Lord or reading the book or whatever I was doing. And, you know, just during that time was just, it's so precious to me.
Yeah.
And it's, I remember during that time, I had a prophecy over me too.
Oh, okay.
From Jamie Harris. So that was the first time I saw him. And then they were visiting, Jamie and Chi was visiting Catalyst, and they were just kind of imparting and doing the prophecy over people. And Jamie looked at me and he actually said, he see an altar. An altar, there's a fire. I was like, okay. And there's fire because there's sacrifice. And where the sacrifice, the fire will fall.
Huh.
And you have given your life as a sacrifice, and God is pleased with you.
Wow.
And then he spoke Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, they're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and hope."
Wow.
So when he spoke over me, I knew I was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, at the time. And that is my life verse for me. That his plans are good. You know, he's a good father. His plans are good for me. And what I'm doing is what he's pleased with.
Yeah. So Yeah, I love that verse too. Wow. That so for you, Sang, what gave you the confidence that God would supply all your needs? What gave you that confidence and that he would never leave and forsake you? That
I think it's just living experience. I mean, I had an incident during when I was in high school that my mom decided to leave the house. So they're in Korea and I was here. And then I found out that she decided to leave the house. And there's nothing I could do from the States. And I remember crying out to the Lord on the bathroom floor. And it's like, Lord, like, help us, you know, help me. And I was just, I think it's the first time I pray really earnest prayer to him. And then in my spirit, I knew he heard me. I just had this peace over me. And I just knew that when you pray to the Lord, he will hear me.
Yeah.
And when all the people, I guess, around you leave, he will still be with me. Mm. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That's really powerful. I think I find also so powerful is that the things that you said and that God said to you and showed you are right out of the Bible. I mean, and I think of like Philippians 4:19, you know, "And my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." And that I like underlining certain words and the word "all," you know, because because sometimes I think, well, he'll supply this need or that need or maybe what I want, but not everything. But no, God knows what we need and doesn't lack anything, huh?
Yes.
One other verse that you quoted too, Joshua 1:5, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And I thought that was neat too. I know he mentions that in other parts of the Bible, but I thought your son's name is Joshua, right? And that's that was so appropriate to grab the verse from Joshua.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to segue over to and talk to you about your experience with the prayer and healing ministry teams. And, you know, we're so blessed here at Catalyst that we have some amazing people that are available on the prayer ministry teams to meet with anyone, even people that are listening right now, to pray for and walk with you, especially during difficult times. And I know, saying that you've had some amazing testimonies that have come from some of your experiences with the prayer ministry teams. And so I wondered if you can share your testimony and what your life was like maybe before the encounter with the prayer ministry teams and what God showed you and how God broke through, maybe even some of the false beliefs that you were struggling with.
Sure. So I think when I first got the prayer ministry for myself, I was walking with the Lord. So it's after that whole year of dedication. We were just learning about identity and whatnot.
Yeah.
But there was one summer where I lost a closest friend, meaning like we were good friends and something happened. So we were not even talking to him. And at the same month, and it was funny because it was my birthday month in December. I remember that. And that boyfriend at the time broke up with me as well. So I was pretty devastated at the time because I lost two of the closest relationships I had. And I went into a depression at the time. And by then, my parents came back when I was 26. So they were with me. And I went to depression. I didn't know what to do. And so I actually reached out for the counseling. So I knew that I needed that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I was like, I need a prayer. I need a healing prayer. And at the time, we didn't have a prayer ministry at all. So because Catalyst was still pretty new.
Oh, okay.
So I knew the Ruth's son had some experience of praying for people. As well as Kaz. Kaz and I've been, like, I used to call her my surrogate mother because her daughter, Lisa, and I went to school together.
Oh, no kidding.
And while my parents were not here, I'll go over to their house, sleep over, you know, during the spring breaks and things like that.
Yeah.
So I had a close relationship with her.
Yeah.
So I asked both of them if they could pray for me, do healing prayer. So they were gracious enough to pray for me. So that was my first encounter of like, oh, this is like healing prayer. It's very different than like someone just praying over you.
Right.
They're praying kind of like walking me through, you know, some of the like a traumatic experience in my life and then like helping me hear from the Lord instead of them just telling me, you know, what God is saying.
Yeah.
So that was huge different because, and I knew at the time I need not only I need someone to process with, which was my counselor, but I needed healing from the Lord, healing, just inner healing that comes from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my first experience. And I was like, this is so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think they asked you like to picture Jesus in the room with you and how does he see you? Do you remember what that was like or what he said to you or what, you know, even the look that he had?
So I remember that. So it was about, my parents have a huge family. So my dad is first of six children. And my grandfather was turning 60. And we had this huge party. And for some reason, my dad's side, they love to perform. And I'm just not a performer. I'm just more introverted. Don't talk to me. I mean, me going on this podcast is like a huge thing too. Because I don't like sharing. At the time I remember and I don't like surprises either. So, and my parents didn't even know they were supposed to do this. And they just decided all the grandkids will come up and sing a song in front of everybody on a mic. And I was terrified.
Yeah.
I was horrified.
And there's no way you can back out of it because it's your parents saying everyone's going to do this, right?
It's like, it's the grandparents and everybody's on board.
Oh, okay.
So my cousins already went. They already like rehearsed it and they already picked a song they want to do. Like,
My
parents asked me, what do you want to sing? And I was like, I don't know. And I was thinking about, okay, I don't know why I wanted to sing a national anthem of Korea, right?
Oh, okay.
But then, I got the name wrong. So I ended up picking this like really kiddish song. And I think I was like 10 or 11. I mean, I was a little bit older. I thought I was old, but then maybe not. So I was singing this song and I'm so embarrassed because it's like song for like 3-year-old, right? And I was singing and singing. And then I was like, and then that image, that like experience scarred me because I was so embarrassed.
And, you know? And I think you said your dad had made some comment. What do you remember what that was or what?
So during the let me get back. During the prayer ministry. So that scene came up. And they asked me, picture Jesus, where is he? And I saw Jesus like right next to me, right? And then looking at me. And then he's like, what does he say? He's like, he thinks I'm adorable. You know, he is like pleased with me.
Yeah.
He's happy with me. That scene or that experience that I had was like horrified. I was so embarrassed. You know, shame. Yeah. Really, it was the shame. But God, Jesus saw me and he wasn't, you know, he was pleased with me.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, like, that stuck with me. And then later on, I shared with my dad, you know, after the prayer session, that how that experience was so embarrassing for me. Mm-hmm. And then my dad actually said, no, I thought that was so cute.
Yeah, right.
And you know, I thought how you sang and everything was so cute. And so, like, I had a very different perspective as a child than what other people were thinking.
Right. So that's so awesome because you have the affirmation of your heavenly father and also your earthly father who both thought it was wonderful. You know, you were adorable.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. That's so neat. So what did that do, having that perspective instead of maybe what you had before? Did you see things differently after that point, or anything? What changed for you?
So that experience couldn't hurt me anymore, I guess, if that means.
Okay.
Like, I don't carry that feelings anymore.
Yes.
And I realized, you know, it's all about perspective sometimes. And I realized really what matters is how God sees me. You know, God's perspective on things that we're going through.
Yeah.
You know, and the main thing was he's always with us, you know, going through the experience with us.
Yeah.
And if we could see him in that experience, it's not so much lonely. It doesn't hurt as much. You know, if I could see what he's doing in the background.
Yes.
You know, it's just change your perspective. And then you could be free from that experience or that feeling or the emotions that you carry. So, I mean, that was like huge eye-opening for me.
Yeah.
And I think from that on, and I was like, oh, I really want to help people with the inner healing as well.
Wow.
And that kind of got me to inner healing when they opened it up and we were going through trainings and whatnot.
Yeah.
And PMT happened and SOZO, we were doing SOZO, learning about that.
Yeah.
So that's why I knew that, I want to, like, just because I knew how free I was after receiving all that, I wanted other people to feel that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Again, you're paying it forward, and I just think that that's so awesome, right? Because it's easy to just bottle it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no, you were so impacted that now you want others to experience what you've experienced. I mean, that's so powerful. And, you know, my thought is you've highlighted the whole idea of stronger together. You know, we've been talking about that at Catalyst, but it's so relevant, isn't it? You know, that the idea of having other brothers and sisters to come alongside you, and whether it's to help you, you know, process or pray or support you,
Yeah.
I just wanted to quote, I know Pastor Barry has quoted Ecclesiastes 4:12, a three-strand cord is not quickly broken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you also, Sophia, had some support of mentors in your life here at Catalyst. And for some reason, when I was thinking about your testimonies, the word stretcher bearers came to mind. And, you know, the stretcher bearers in Luke 5:17-26, four friends go out of their way to bring their friend to see Jesus, and so he could encounter and be healed and touched by him. And just like these four friends, these women in your life had compassion and cared about you enough to take the time to so you could see and know Jesus better. So I wondered if you can talk about this time in your life, maybe what was going on, and how these women here at Catalyst became sort of stretcher bearers for you to see and to know Jesus.
Sure. So when I was going through the healing process, I think what he was telling me is, okay, you need someone who could process with, and then you need the healing prayer, but that's not enough to sustain us because we really need community. You need to belong somewhere that you do this life with every single day, right? Week after week. So I think shortly after that, Ruth San had become my mentor. And I remember every Sunday for after church, like there's a group of us kind of just gather around and we'll just pray for each other. Wow. And then we'll be praying for like hours. And we used to have, I think around 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, we had a Sunday night prayer. So from the time that we're done with church and we'll have, you know, meal together and whatnot, we'll be like praying until we are going to go to prayer and on Sunday.
Wow.
And then we'll go prayer together. Wow. So like by the end of the day, we're like exhausted. But
sounds like a marathon.
It was a marathon. But we got to pray for each other. We got to just, you know, have this time and just learn about God. Just learn about, you know, we like talked about like, what color are you, you know, and what color do you see for that person, or like prophetic things.
Yeah.
So like just like learned a lot and just be able to process my thoughts and feelings. And like, is it a legitimate, or am I just thinking wrong, or like be able to receive grace, you know, or learn how to give yourself grace. Like you make a mistake. Okay. Well, big deal.
Right.
You know, because that was hard for me because I always carry this measuring stick of mine and I go measure myself to another person. And it was really tiring. And I'm like, I'm what you consider as type A person. I'm like, I'm a go-getter. But comes with that, like there's a lot of measuring to do.
Yeah. Are you a perfectionist in some ways too?
I'm not a perfectionist.
Okay.
Thank goodness. I think that would have made it a lot harder. But still, like, I have a goal and I have a task list. Yeah. And I'm like, I need to do, you know, 5 things a day. And
you set the bar really high for yourself, don't you?
I do. And if I meet it, you know, that's great. But it's a very tiring life. But, and if I will make a mistake and I'll come short. But, like, just to learn how to give myself grace, you know, that was huge. And Ruth-san, you know, actually showed me how to give herself grace. You know, she would, you know, walk the walk. And, you know, so I was like, okay, if she could do that, I could do that too.
Yes,
so,
yes, exactly.
Yeah, so that was huge, you know, having that community.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have other mentors that came alongside too, you know, at different season. I couldn't really remember when they were, but they all had a heart for me and they came alongside, and I think they impart different things to me, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like I think you had mentioned Susan.
Yeah, Susan and, Miyake.
And,
and Ida. Ida met up with me actually even before the whole catalyst happened. I remember I was going through some tough time, and like, I was actually going through a really tough relationship and making bad choices in my life. And then she met up with me. We think we did some Bible study of some sort or something, but just meeting up for a meal.
Yeah.
And then I just remember, like, she would go home and she will like, pray for me with Ross, you know, for me to turn around because I was going in the wrong direction. And then when she shared that with me later on, when I finally came back, and I was like, well, you know, those are the prayers that impacted my life, because no wonder I came back, right? Mm-hmm. Because those intercession prayers are huge. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know it, but no wonder, like, I felt like I'm not supposed to do this.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I remember you said, I mean, what comes to mind is that it doesn't have to be any set time or place. You know, Ida just prayed for you on her own time, and it was so impactful for you, right? I think you used the word organic too, that it wasn't something that you can stage, huh? And so what I think of is that for us, you know, we can pray for others and seek the Lord for others on our own time. It doesn't have to be where, I got to make a time to meet with you or something. I mean, that's great, but that we can do things in the moment. Huh?
Right. And I think organic is like, I would say it's a kind of like God thing, because after I received all this mentorship from, you know, these ladies, when we actually had a program of mentorship in a Catalyst, we tried to have like fathering or mothering, I think we called it. And then we were trying to put a system, people will sign up, and if people who has heart for a certain person will pick it, you know, whatnot. But I remember I volunteered for that going into it because I was volunteering for every single thing, I think, at the time. Because I never knew. Like, I never knew how, what, I mean, a part of me just dabbling to everything is because I don't know where God wants me to be. So I should try everything to figure out where he wants me to be. And I actually have a lesson from that later. But when we did that, I found out the people I got matched up with are people not in that population at all. So who I had a heart for was people who was be the mentor. So two of them, I had was mentoring three people, and out of two was actually people who was mentoring, they were gonna mentor others. And it was God thing. He highlighted them and he moved my heart. And I was like, and they were older than me and, you know, probably walk with the Lord longer too. But I was like, well, if they're willing, they're okay me mothering them, whatever that looks like. And I'm here, I'll do it. So when I saw that, and they're great friends of mine now, and I appreciate their friendship with me, and our relationship have evolved into something different, you know, more friendship now. But I was, you know, pleasantly surprised because I thought I was going to go with the system. And then I talked to Pastor Barry at the time. I said, can I do this? I don't want to overstep anybody's, you know, thing, but this is what God's telling me to do. You know, I think these are the women that I'm have a heart for. And then the other one was actually Kayla, because Susan Miyake poured into me, and then Kayla wanted me to be the mentor. And I was like, she's not even that age population, but you know what, you know what? And I just met up with her, and you know, so it was interesting, like, how God orchestrated that. Because I was like, oh, okay, so this is a God thing, so I just follow what he wants me to do. And so that's what's like, even now, like the people that I meet up with, you know, occasionally, whatnot, I mean, it's just organic. It's just whoever got highlights, just meet up with them. And start from there. See what happens.
I think that's so awesome, because, you know, you were sharing with me earlier that, you know, Susan, who, you know, you knew at the time, she had a family of her own and was still pouring, you know, into you when she had the time. And now someone, you know, a sister like Susan who poured into you, now you are, again, paying it forward. There's that word again, you know, with her daughter, Kayla. So I just, wow, that's, it's, to me, I just see you as someone just so connected in the moment with God that, you know, it's just, boom, God, you know, God orchestrates, like you said, and you just follow in his footsteps. I mean, I just I think that's so awesome. You had also shared with me that, when you had met with Ida, and you shared this about Ruth as well, that there wasn't any judgment. I mean, and you know, you had mentioned that Ida was never judgmental, and even with Ruth, you know, she gave herself grace, and you realize that, oh my gosh, you know, my mentor is giving herself grace, I can give my I can give myself grace as well, you know, the other observation that I see in what you're sharing, saying, is that if God is calling us to do something, that we should do it. I mean, I know it's easier said than done, but I just wondered if you can speak to that, if for those that maybe God might be calling them to step into something.
So, like, I would say the fruits that I have seen in the past, wasn't, like, anytime that God asked me to do something, it wasn't like huge thing. You know, he wasn't say, give up everything here and go be a missionary. You know, he never asked me to do that. It was just a simple nudging, right? And sometimes it's so easy to kind of say, oh, it's just in my thought. Or like, I just feel like it because I know something about that person. But I think the reason I said I just kind of step in and do it is like, it's kind of like almost like a current. You just step in and it will just, you know, carry you wherever you need to go. And unless you say yes and do that first step, you never know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I had cases where I pray for someone and I didn't go anywhere. So that's okay. You know, I think a part of it is the biggest thing is like having to carry this responsibility for your action, right? But if it's God telling you what to do and you're just just seeing, right? Yeah. And then you can always default like, hey, if it doesn't land with you, just let it go. Right. You know, I'm totally off and I'm sorry.
Right.
But I think Pastor Bear used to say like, hey, like if you're called to do something and it's not going to harm anybody and then it's kind of consistent with the Bible, you know, try it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And then I think that's about giving yourself grace.
Yes.
Right. It's
yes.
like, just try it and then see where it goes.
Yes.
And unless you do it, you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
And I think for me, it was a baby step. You know, I try one thing, go like, hey, I think this is okay. Or like I try with the people who I'm safe with. Right. So I think that's what was good when we were meeting with Ruth and a couple other people that we were doing that to each other. Right. And we give each other grace. We say, hey, you know, does that hit anywhere? You know, does it speak to you or not? Mm-hmm. Oh, it didn't. Okay, we'll just move on.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'll tell you, every single time God asked me to do it, it's still hard for me. You know, it's not easy. It's not like, oh, I'm just going to do it because I know that's God.
Right.
No, I don't.
Right.
You know, a lot of times I still don't know. And a lot of times I kind of missed opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, I should have prayed for that person, or even a hug. I should have given that person a hug, or give them a call, or give them a text, and you know, or like sometimes God will speak to you in dreams, which, you know, I've learned to learn how He speaks to me. But even that, it's like, well, I had a dream about so and so. What does it mean, right? What do I do about it? Sometimes I'll just say, hey, you know, I had a dream about you. And I don't tell them what. Sometimes they ask me.
Yeah.
And I was like, or I would just say, hey, is there something I could pray for you? You know, like you could play safe, but still follow what, you know, God's prompting is.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be this like, you know, I'm going to do it, Lord. And, you know, I'm going to put my life on it. No, it's not. It's like, it's a lot of times He's asking you to bless someone.
Yeah.
Right? Be a blessing to someone.
Yes.
And the worst thing that could happen is you feel like you just made a fool of yourself, and it's not the bad thing. You know, it's not the worst thing that, you know, because you know how to give yourself grace. So you just kind of move on. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, something, you know, as you were sharing, just my observation is saying is that it's so easy for us sometimes to talk ourselves out of doing something and to make it about us and then that way talk ourselves out of, you know, out of doing something. But I see you having that perspective that no, if God is asking me to do it, then I'm going to do it because he's asking me to, and not trusting Him for the results and not in yourself for the results.
Yeah, I mean, you might miss out what He's doing. And it's so fun to see Him in action. And you're is participant, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're just like looking. He just have this thing for you. And then He's just like, hey, look what I'm going to do. And all you're seeing is like, wow, that's so cool, God.
Yeah.
How did you do it? Right?
Yeah.
So if you don't take that that step, then you don't get to see that picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's so good. So just one other question. You've been mentored. What's it been like being on the other side and coming alongside others and mentoring others?
You know, like I think I like programs. I like closure. I'm a high, like when we're taking my break, I like plan. I like following the plan. But I think how God is using me is totally the opposite. You know, no plan, no program. I think when I met up with them, I just spent time with them.
Yeah.
And then I just process with them. And then we just share about what God's doing in our lives or what we're struggling with.
Yeah.
And then we may pray for each other. We may not. I mean, it's not a set in stone. This is how we're going to do it. I'm going to meet up with you. I mean, I tried to be consistent at the time when we were going through it, a lot more consistent. Now I don't have as much time. So the people meet up with are more impromptu.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's just to life. And then a lot of people, I realized, they just want to have a meal with you, just want to talk things through with you and just share. And if God is prompting you to pray for them, pray over them. Or if there is other resources or books or program or that I've been through that was really helpful for me, then I will just offer that to them.
Yeah. But
a lot of times I think the people that I was mentoring at the time was Belinda and Linda, and we just had fun together. You know, we just had a good time together. I just got to know
just
them.
Just being in the moment. Huh?
Yeah, and then they just got to know me, and I was just like, I'm just going to pray for you guys, you know, pray over you guys, and because that's not for me, that's from God, right?
Right.
And that's all we did.
Yeah.
That's all we
did. Well, the other thing that I'm hearing, kind of reading between the lines, is that you're really relying on God in the moment, because God will highlight something that you pray over the person for. Maybe it's a scripture verse that is highlighted, but that, you know, because I'm much like you, I'm very planned. I like to be scheduled, right? There's that comfort level, right? With being that way. And I just hear this flexibility to kind of say, okay, God, you know, what you're doing, I'm going to just be in the moment, and if you're asking me to pray for someone or give them a scripture or a word of encouragement, I'm going to just be in the moment and do that.
Yeah, and I think he's just asking you to be who you are. Like, I realize what I could do well is I just love listening to people's stories, right? So he just have me just listen to their stories, or then sometimes he'll give me a wisdom to speak, you know, or sometimes... Yeah. I don't. And it really didn't matter. And I think that's what was more comfortable. And I could, I was able to do what I was able to do because it wasn't going through a Bible book or a book together or, you know, a certain program, because then I have to prep it, right? I have to like know it. I have to know the scriptures. I have to know what it is. And that doesn't work for me. You know, I had to find a hard way, but like, that doesn't work for me. What I could do is I could just offer my time and being available and give whatever I could give. And which is funny because I think I joined Catalyst from the beginning, and then we went through a lot of classes, a lot of training. I mean, training, every training under the sun. I mean, we've done it all, and I was participating in everything because I didn't have a family back then. I had a lot of time, so I just went for every single thing. But you know, it's funny because I look back, and I've been on a mission trip for a couple of different things, and you know, I realized like when you are in foreign land and then going to mission field, man, you gotta have everything. So, like, whatever, I just want to encourage people who's listening, like, whatever you're doing, it doesn't go wasted. Like, he showed me what it is. It's like a tool belt. You're going to have a tool belt, and he's going to give you, like, this training on here and that training over there.
Yes.
And whether it's a prayer or prophecy or, I don't know, I forgot what, I mean, dreams, interpretation, whatever it is. Just pile it in, and he might not use it right now, but he will use it. And then that's what I thought, like, when I went on a mission in the foreign land, and they're just so hungry because they don't have the resources like we can.
Yes.
And then I realized, wow, God doesn't waste anything. He would just, like, use everything that
Absolutely.
I could. And then, like, that's what I saw happening. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Well, that is an awesome way to wrap up our time together with that word. Just come as you are, and God will use this tool belt that you have. And saying, as we wrap up our time together, I just want to first of all thank you for being here on Catalyst Stories and sharing your faith journey with me, and with what the Lord has been doing with your life-changing testimonies.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I'd like to lift up a prayer of thanksgiving for your testimonies and pray for our listeners as well. So. Yeah, let's pray. Thank you, Father God, for seeing Sang, that at a time when Sang felt in the background that you singled her out from among this sea of people and all her friends, and you said to her, Sang, I see you. You are front and center. And God, we acknowledge you today as the El Ra'i, the God who sees us. And for those listening, I just want to quote Jeremiah 12, the first part of verse 3 in the English Standard Bible. But you, O Lord, know me, you see me. And I pray, God, that you would reveal yourself today to those who feel unseen or insignificant. Know today that your Heavenly Father sees you. And thank you, God, that you know us so well that you've said, indeed, the very hairs of our heads are numbered. That's Luke 12:7. And in Jeremiah 1, the first part of verse 5, God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And God, may you give us that much hope, especially in difficult times, knowing that you see us and you know us. And thanks for that evidence in Tsang's life. And thank you, Jesus, for assuring Tsang that you would supply all her needs and that you would never leave or forsake her. That's Philippians 4:19 and Joshua 1:5. And Jesus, you have showed yourself faithful to Tsang over the years, and we thank you that your faithfulness reaches the sky. That's Psalm 57:10. In fact, we have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. That's Psalms 26:3. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for the healing work that you've done in Tsang's life. Thank you how you've used brothers and sisters who are part of the healing and prayer ministry to show Tsang how you see her, and for showing us that, Lord, we are stronger together, and reminding us that a three-chord strand cord is not quickly broken, Ecclesiastes 4:12. And Father God, thank you for the mentors, these stretcher bearers in Tsang's life that have taken the time to walk beside Tsang and invest her time. And as Tsang said, has been the foundation of her faith in many ways. And thank you, Jesus, also for Tsang's heart to give back and now mentor and speak into others as she has received so much encouragement in her life. And Lord, may you just continue to bless Sophia and continue to spur her on, Lord, as she pays it forward and continues in her ministry to mentor and speak into others. And now, Jesus, may you use these testimonies in Tsang's life to inspire even more people to become all that you created and called them to be in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so thank you, Tsang. And that's it for today's episode of Catalyst Stories. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.